right. Keeping it shorter today. He's got one less song. He told Kirsten one less song. We're going to cut the testimonies down a little bit, but he didn't tell me to keep it short. So I got an extra 15 minutes maybe, huh? I don't know. We'll see. I'll do what I can do. I want to talk today about going deeper. Going deeper. It's kind of funny. Brother Steve started my message out for me, so I think we're on point. I'm going to start with a Bible reading in Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm going to read 1 through 12. Kind of a lot of scripture, but we're going to read it. And then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house towards the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, led me around to the outside, to the outer, and I lost my place. Led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. We got a lot of directions here. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out towards the east, with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and led me through the water. Water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water. Water reaching the knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water. Water reaching the loins. And again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not ford. For the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, "These waters go out towards the eastern region and go down into Arab, and then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there, and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it from En-Gedi to En-Glam. There will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. By the river on its banks, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." Amen. Lots of verses there. So I want to preach today about the blessings of a deeper life. Steve started me out talking about water. I want to talk about the blessings of going deeper. Start out. Go ahead and put that picture up. Anybody in here a musical person? I know Brother Paul here probably knows. Irving Berlin. Anybody familiar with him? Famous musician, composer, writer of music. I guarantee when I start listing off some of the stuff he's done, you know who he is. Born in Russia of Jewish Russian descent in, I believe it was 1888. Moved to the States when he was like 5 years old. But he's just written and done a ton of music. And he does scores for like film and Broadway plays and all kinds of stuff like that. And he wrote songs like "God Bless America." We've all heard that. "It's a White Christmas." "Putting on the Ritz." "Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better." You could go on and on of all the songs that he wrote. Towards the end of his life, he died in, where was it? It wasn't that long ago. 1989. So maybe it was a little while ago. But he's immortalized as a person of music. In one interview, they said that he doesn't have a place in music. He is American music. Near the end of his life, he had done tons of interviews and tons of questions answered. And towards the end, one of the reporters that he was talking to, I don't even remember the name, but they're famous, they asked him, of all the interviews you've done and all the questions you've answered, what hasn't been asked? What hasn't someone asked you that you'd like to give the answer to? And he thought about it. I actually read part of a book about it. It's kind of interesting. And he thought about it for a while, and he said, of all the interviews I've done and all the questions that I've answered, the one I'd like to answer that never got asked, I'm going to read a quote, of all the songs that I wrote that were not hits, I'm jumping ahead. Of all the songs you wrote that were not hits, what did you think of those songs? So he wrote so many that were hits, but he wrote so many that weren't hits as well. And his answer was, of all the songs that I wrote that were not hits, I loved them just the same as if they were. He was just as proud of them. Again, this is quotes. He said, they're just as wonderful as the ones that became hits. Loved them all just the same. So, church, I want to say that everybody in here is not going to be a hit in the stands and eyes of the world. Not every single person in here is going to be a hit when it comes to the standards of the world. But who made us? Who made us? God made us. And he loves each and every one of us just the same. If you think you're a hit or you're successful in the world, or if you're not, he loves you just the same. Thinks you're just as wonderful. So this morning, we're on a music theme a little bit. If your life were a song, what would its title be? Many of us have come through some struggles. Everybody's walked through some hard times in life. Maybe your title might be Singing in the Rain. Is that fitting? Some that have a strong determination to trust God no matter what happens. I'm going with God. That title I'm going to give Blessed Assurance. Sounds fitting, huh? Some of us have done enough to be in jail or even dead and in hell, but God saved us. Amazing grace. Whatever you are, whatever you've done, however far you think life has spun out of control, he loves you just the same. You may not be a hit in the world, in the eyes of the world, but you're a hit in the eyes of God. If you trust God, he will take you to a deeper life. Amen? Every Christian should want a deeper life. A deeper experience of God's grace, deeper manifestation of his forgiveness, a deeper walk with Christ. Every Christian should desire that. That's what our text or our Bible reading this morning said. If you walk with him, he will take you deeper. And he measured again, and they went deeper. He will take you deeper. To do that, we can't be afraid of water. Anyone here afraid of water? Can't swim? We're going to speak in some metaphors here a little bit, because analogies a little bit. We're talking about Ezekiel. It's a vision. And we're talking, water means a lot of things. I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but we can't be afraid of water. Like Steve was saying, his kid was in the water and is swimming. All you had to do was stand up, and you were going to be good. We were at the lake at Mom and Dad's yesterday, and my brother Ben's little boy had a life jacket on, and he was swimming out to a raft. and he fell off of the little floaty he was on, and he about thought he was going to die. He's screaming and yelling, and you'd have thought the world would come to an end. But he had a life jacket on. He's just fine. But he needs to calm down and trust God. Trust that he's going to take care of you, be fine. It's like a kid in a pool that can't swim. And the parent's in there, and he's telling the kid, come on, jump in, I'll catch you, I got you. And they don't want to do it. And then when finally they do it, they jump in and they have fun and it's good. We got to let go of our fears and trust in God. Water's a metaphor for life, right? Without water, things die. We were just at Dad's yesterday, and they've got less rain than us, and it is crispy brown out there. Everything is dead. The grass is brown because they don't have any water. Without water, it's going to die. The funny thing is, the grass was all dead and gone, but there was green specks around, and that was the weeds. The bad things don't require as much water. They were still able to survive where the water, where life wasn't. The deeper you go in the water, the deeper you go in life experiences. God cannot show you some things sometimes until he takes you deeper. You got to trust him. Sometimes I'm afraid and I don't want to go deeper. I know how to swim, but sometimes I don't want to go deeper. I'm comfortable where I'm at, but we need to go deeper. How many agree life isn't ankle deep? If life was just ankle deep, we could just skip on through it and everything would be just fine and we don't need to know how to swim. I can just walk through it. I'm not going to drown. I can get along. Or like on the beach where you're out there and the walking and the waves come rolling in and the kids run away from it. And they run back to it and go back. They don't need to know how to swim because they're not in the water. Life is not just knee-deep, is it? Sometimes life is more than waist-deep. We agree? We need to get into that water over our heads so God can carry us through. So in our text that we read, Ezekiel is talking about a vision. First of all, that's a vision that Ezekiel had. And really, it's for the children of Israel, what God's going to do through them as a people, as a nation. But it's also a metaphor what God can do for us, right? The new Israel, the church. In the vision, the source of the water, where does it come from? It comes right from the throne of God, right from it. The source of the water is the throne of God. So we're talking in visions and metaphors here a little bit. We're talking about being in the water, and sometimes in the water drowning, we see that as not a good thing. But in this, the water is life, and we're seeing that the deeper we go, the more life we're going to get. The water is also an example of the Holy Spirit. The more we get in, the more it covers us. The course of that water in the vision is going where? Straight through the city. It's coming out of the throne and it's flowing straight through the city. Nothing can obstruct it. It's flowing through buildings and under buildings and around gates, and it is flowing where it wants to flow. Nothing can move it off its course. Nothing can obstruct it. Nothing can stop it because the source of it is the throne of God. You following me? The source of that river is the throne of God. The source of the Holy Spirit is God. Amen? Nothing can stop it. So if it's coming from the altar and God's its source, it's going to go where it wants to go. Man is not going to be able to stop it. It comes straight from God himself. He sends it towards us. He sends it for us, he sends it into us, through us and around us, and no matter what nobody does, they can't obstruct the flow of that river. I got some tongue twisters here, but because its source is of God and its course is of God, its force is also of God. the force of that water is so strong that nothing can obstruct it. Nothing can stand in opposition to it. Its source, its course, and its force straight from the throne of God. Let me see if I can help us out here or give a little examples here. When God wants to get his hands on your life, it doesn't matter how stubborn you are, doesn't matter how negative you are, how far you think you've strayed, how difficult you are, when God wants his hands on his life, he's going to get it. He knows just what to do to bring you to him. Sometimes we might have to walk through something that we don't like, but he knows just what to do to bring us to him. It's irresistible grace. It's a force that compels us sometimes, pushes you. And before you know it, you're doing something that you don't even really know what you wanted to do. You're here in the church, and someone gives an altar call, and you're being touched. And before you knew it, you're up and you're standing and you're heading to the altar without even really knowing what you're doing. God's force is unstoppable. So I'm going to say this to some control freaks in here this morning, because we got some, everybody is a little bit. You might be in charge, but you are not in control. You might think you're in charge, but you are not in control. You might think, Steve said, say it again, so I'm going to say it again. You might think you are in charge, and you can be in charge, but you are not in control. Because God's in control, right? No matter what no matter where we're going or what we're doing or how we're trying to divert that river, he cannot be diverted. He is in control. God can take the heart of a man and turn it however he pleases, and nobody can withstand his force. Amen. He will have his way. Remember when he was on the road to Damascus and Saul, prior Paul, they were on their way, and he was on their way to arrest and to persecute some certain Christian people. And he came across them, and the Holy Spirit arrested Saul. Amen? Arrested Paul, the Apostle Paul. He didn't know the force and the power of the Holy Spirit arrested him. He says, Saul, why are you persecuting? Next thing you know, his life is making a change. It's making a 180. If he wants to get his hands on your life, you can do whatever you think you can, whatever you think you might try, but he's going to get his hands on your life. Remember the tsunami in 2011, Japan, other side of the world. March of 2011, it was a 9.0 earthquake that created this tsunami. It was so powerful that it shifted the axis of the earth, the rotation of the earth. It turned it, and it shortened the days by milliseconds, but they can count and measure that. Shorten the days. They also say, and there's different sources are different, so don't quote me on this, but it says it moved the mainland of China, or Japan, the island, anywhere from, some people will say, a few inches to as many as 8 feet. Change the rotation or the speed of the earth. And that earthquake threw out a wave or a tsunami that came, and it crushed everything in its path. Everything in its path, it crushed it. And it made it all the way 6,000 miles to the coast of California. It's powerful. That's that river. It's unstoppable force. That's God saying, if I want you, I'm going to get you. My power, my force cannot be stopped. The Holy Spirit is going to grab you and hold on to you. Who thinks they got here today on their own accord? where we're at? Because Corey did it? I'm here because Corey... It don't happen that way. God did it. He is unstoppable. You can sit here all stubborn-like and think that I got here under my own accord, but he can send enough trouble your way to make you scream hallelujah. If you don't know how to bow your head and bend a knee, he can make you bow your head and bend a knee. Because the source and the course and the force is the Holy Spirit. So we're back to our vision. Ezekiel is a vision of a man going through a city, and he's measuring a river. And it says right in the text there, when the man went out towards the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water. Water reaching the ankles. Led me through the water. He brought me through the water. There's a big difference between going in the water and going through the water, right? We can go into something and stay there, but we can also be brought through it. Anybody who's ever been through some stuff, been through some water, can help testify with that, amen? Frank, you've been through some waters? Amen. He brought you through? Amen. If you stay with him, if you stay with God, he will bring you through. It's not going to leave you in there. He's not going to abandon you. He's going to bring you through. Through the fire, through the storm. Think about our Bible. Through the rain, through your sickness, through your pain, bring you through your heartache, bring you through your financial difficulties, can bring you through your trials, through your sickness, through your heart attack, through your stroke, through your cancer. He can bring you through it if you stay with him. So for someone who's going through something here today, he will bring you through. He's going to bring you through. The psalmist helps us out with this one a little bit. One of the psalms says, weeping endures for a night, right? But what comes in the morning? Joy comes in the morning. So what's a night? Is a night 12 hours? Sometimes in the winter here, the nights can be 16 hours, I think. I think metaphorically or in the Psalms, a night can be 12 months. A night could mean 15 years. Doesn't necessarily, we can stand on our head for a couple hours and make it through the night, right? But sometimes that night might be a lot longer than just the 12-hour span of darkness. But if we stay with him, no matter how long that night is, the morning will come. And then when the morning comes, joy comes with it. Weeping might endure for a night, but the joy, that joy comes in the morning. So a lot of times these days, there's a lot of preaching about health and wealth and you're a good person and all that. I don't think we get enough preaching of when the morning comes. Some of the stuff we might have to walk through. When God brings us into the water, he will bring you through it. You stay with him, he's going to bring you through. God shows himself to be faithful, right? In the midst of our fiery furnace, in the midst of the lion's den, in the midst of a Philippian jail, God has been, is, will be always faithful. He will bring you through. And when he brings you through, what is that? That's your testimony. That should be your testimony of what God has done, what he's brought me through. It may not have been fun at the time, but he was there with me. He walked with me. He brought me through some stuff. He brought me to the other side. my testimony. So I may have wept for a night, but my joy came in the morning. He brought me through. So back to the vision. He brought you through the water, his ankles deep. Sadly, that is not deep enough. Not sadly, but it's not deep enough. The sad part is many Christians' faith is just ankle deep. Anybody agree? You know any ankle deep Christians? They got an elementary knowledge of Jesus Christ. They know a little bit. They might know a few songs and come to church, and they know a few prayers. I even have a Bible. I read my Bible. But that's still just ankle deep. Ankle deep. When the seas get rough, life gets rough, when I'm only ankle deep, it's only a few steps and I'm out of the water. I'm in and out. Life gets rough and the waves get a little choppy and I'm out. I'm going back to dry land. I'm not going to stick with this. So really what the vision or what the text we're reading about is maturity. The further we get in, the deeper we get in, the more he's brought us through, the more we've experienced, the more mature we get. There's some things, I said this already, that God can't show you until he brings you through some stuff. He's got to get you there, teach you to trust him, teach you to understand, teach you to submit. He's got to bring you through some stuff. A person that's just satisfied being ankle deep, just a little bit of water, is immature. And I can give you lots of examples of immature Christians or young. I'm not going there today. We just know and agree. I'm sure we all agree we need a faith that is deeper than ankle deep. And then the vision says the same thing again. And the man with the line measured 1,000 again. And he brought me through the waters. And the waters this time were to my knee. How many agree? Faith that's to the knee is better than ankle deep, but it's still not where we ought to be. We're getting in deeper. It's better than ankle deep, but it is not where we should be. It's not where we should stop. But we're into our knees, right? I want to say as a Christian, we're never taller, never more powerful, never more connected than when we're on our knees, right? On our knees before God, we've never been taller. We need to get on our knees. Because without God, we're just on our own. We can be college educated and a good employee, but without God to soften the heart of the employer and give us a job, what good is that education? We can be a super exercise fanatic and I can be in really good shape and fit, go to my doctor's visits all the time, like all the things I don't do. But unless we have God to keep our heart beating when we go to sleep at night, what good does it do for us? God can do it all. God's been good to us, amen? Every blessing that comes our way, we ought to get on our knees and thank him for that. Get on our knees and give him praise and give him thanks, because without him, we can't do nothing. Growing up years ago, you'd used to see a lot more people on their knees. Or even kids bowing down and kneeling on the bed before they go to sleep at night, saying their prayers. You don't see that as much anymore. We need to know how to pray, because when life gets hard, we can't buy our way out of it. Money's not going to do me any good when life gets hard to get me out of it. On my knees, praying, that's going to do me some good. Knee deep is better than ankle deep, but it's still not where we're at. So what are we going to do? He measured again, brought me, and the waters were to my waist. Now we're getting a little deeper now, right? We're in a little deeper. Water to the waist is better than the knees. It's better than the ankles. But we're still not far enough. How many agrees? Have you ever been in a river and you're waist deep in a river and there's some current that moves you, pushes you around a little bit? There's some force there, right? But when it pushes me enough, I can still turn and go back to shore. When I've had enough of fighting the current, I can still turn and get back to shore because I'm still only waist deep. That's all the deeper I am. Again, it's better than knee deep and thigh deep and ankle deep, but I still have the chance to turn around and go back. Who wants a faith that when things get tough, you just turn around and go back? Does that do us any good? I'm halfway in, I'm to my waist, and when the water gets worse, I just turn and go back. Waist deep ain't where we need to be, because when I turn and go back, I'm not going towards my goal. I'm leaving my prize or where I'm headed, and I'm going back to where I already came from. I don't want to be brought back to the past. I don't want to be brought back to where I've already been. I want to be brought through. Anybody got things in their past that they're not so proud of? Things that you've done of, things that you don't want to go back to. You don't want to pick up that and rehash it over again. Sometimes the world likes to use our past as a mirror. You can hold it up and say, here, look at this filthy, what you are. Look what you did. We can't let the world hold up our past as a mirror of where we've been because that's not me. I'm going this way. I'm going through, and I'm going with God. I think it's a better analogy to use it as a window. I can look back at the past and see where I came from, right, Steve? What I used to be, but that ain't me no more. You can use it as a testimony. You can testify of, this is where I was, but this is where I'm going. I'm going through. That is not me anymore. He's done so much for me. He's done so much for you. Opened so many doors. Made so many ways. I ain't going back to where I was. Look what the Lord has done for me. All the mistakes I've made, everything He's taken me out of, God is going to continue opening doors when you continue to go deeper with Him. Every time you do look back and you see where you came from, that ought to make you just want to shout and praise. Thank you, God, for delivering me from that, because that ain't me no more. And you don't need to do it in front of a church. Or you don't need a worship team to lead you into praise. Just wherever you are, driving down the road, in your car, in my tractor, making hay for 16 hours a day, driving around in a circle, round and round and round and round, never getting anywhere. You can praise God right there. You don't have to be in front of three people to high-five them and, I came from here, I'm going to there, thank you, God. And I'm not going back. So now Ezekiel's vision turns kind of more into an adventure because he brings them even further. He measures again. And he brings them further. Initially, he got wet to the ankle. People get their appetite whetted. They're the immature Christian. They know a few prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's good if you're 4 years old, right? That's good for a four-year-old. We need to go deeper. Some of us have waded to our waist. And we're into our waist and we're thinking we're doing really good. But when I'm in up to my waist, how much more of me is still above the water? You can still see more of me than you can of Christ. When you get into the water waist deep, you can still see more of me than you can see of Christ. Float on that one for a minute. Think about that. Whenever you can see more of me than you can see of Christ, we're not deep enough. Whenever I still got my desires or my ways or my wants or things I want, we're not deep enough. Then the vision says he brought me deeper. And when I got in deeper, it was deep enough to swim. I'm in over my head. I'm covered. Sometimes deep water can be scary, huh? Can be terrifying a little bit. But in the deep water, when we trust him, it gives us buoyancy. We can float. When I give up my control and I just go with it, go with God, he can give you some buoyancy. He can take you and trust you, carry you. My Bible says whenever you go through the fire, you will not be burned. You go through the lion's den, you will not be eaten. No matter what you do, he will be there with you. He promises he'll be there with you. Anybody want to say that's not true? My Bible says it's true. You go through the fire, you will not be through as long as I'm going with God. So my confidence is, no matter what I go through, as long as I'm going with God and God's with me and the Holy Spirit's with me, I'm going to get through it. I am going to make my way through, and I'm not going to turn and go back to where I came, because that's not right. That's not getting you anywhere. That's going away from your goal. I got in my notes here. He was with me in my teen years when I was not even a sense enough to call on his name. You know who he is, but you don't have the sense to call out for him. Then in your 20s, you think you got it going on and you're all hip and you're all cool and I don't really need him anyway. And in your 30s and 40s, you think you're doing really good because you've got a good job and you got a house and you got a family and you're doing... He gave you all that. He provided. But now as I get older, and I'd known I'd need him all along, but as you get older, you get a little more wisdom, right? Get a little wiser. So now that I'm 50, I'm getting old, I know that I need him. It's all those things you did as a younger person start to catch up on you. Got some aches and you got some pains. I don't know if anyone noticed up there, I can't see anymore, so I got to have my glasses on to even see my tablet as we're doing music. You ask my wife and kids, they can tell you, testify that 30 years of sirens in my ears, I can't hear anymore. I can't see, I can't hear, I can't work like I used to. I still work hard, but I can feel it more and more. I need him with me now more than ever. He's brought me through some stuff, and I know what I need now. I've gained some wisdom. So I don't know why everybody wants to stay young forever, because when I was young, I didn't know what I know now. I didn't have the experiences I had now. That walking deeper has grown your faith, grown your understanding, deepened your walk with God. If I'd have never been through anything, I wouldn't have that. I'd still be ankle deep. I want to be more than ankle deep. I like to go swimming. Whew. I've been going a long time already. I'm going to work on wrapping this up here a little bit. In the vision, it says, he said, says that the river, Son of Man, you see that? He brought you to the bank of the river and took me out, brought me through, took me out, and then brought you back to the bank of the river. And they're on the river looking. Everybody knows the Mississippi starts right here in Minnesota, right? And at its source, I can step over the Mississippi in a simple step like that. It's a couple feet. But what happens when it gets all the way to the coast? The Mississippi Delta Basin, all the way down there. What do we call it down there? Mighty Mississippi? It is a big river. Starts out small at the mouth, and all these tributaries come in and adds to it, and streams and more rivers. And by the time it hits the ocean down, it's the mighty Mississippi. It's an unstoppable force. The river in our text doesn't need any tributaries, doesn't need anything coming into it. It doesn't need any streams because its source is what? God. He doesn't need man. He doesn't need Corey to help him out. The source is straight from the throne of God. So whether I decide to join him or not, that river is flowing and it's unstoppable. He can direct the course of your life whether you decide to participate or not. Again, you might be in charge, but you ain't in control. So the river that Ezekiel sees is a foreshadow for another river in the text, right? How many know that the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible? If you read one thing, you're going to find it somewhere else, or you're going to see it somewhere else. So if I got any Bible readers in here, they know where I'm going next, right? Another river? We're going to Revelations. John in the book of the Revelations says, and I didn't put it in there, but it says, I saw a river pure as crystal. Running through the midst of the city of God. And on the other side of the river was a tree of life. Just like in the vision. And the leaves on the tree in Ezekiel, it says they're what? Medicine? In John, it says they're good for the healing of the nation. It's the same river. It's the same. On either side is a tree. And the leaves are medicine. And the leaves are good for the healing of the nation. I know we should be thankful for God that there is another tree, right? There's a lot of trees in the Bible. We got in trouble in the very beginning, eating a fruit from a tree in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden. But then Christ redeemed us on another tree. On a hill called Calvary. And that tree, it says, we all get to heaven. The leaves on that tree are good for the healing of the nation. Anybody agree this nation needs some healing? Amen. So while we're here in this life, there might be aches and pains and trials and upset and ups and downs. But Ezekiel shows us if we stay with God on this venture, if we let him take us deeper and again deeper and again deeper until we give up control, he's going to give us victory. Amen. That's my message for today. Go deeper. Don't stay ankle deep. We need to go deeper and walk deeper. I might put Steve on the spot here. He started my message out. I might ask him to close it out. You willing to do that? Take it deeper.
That's a good word, wasn't it? Thank you for those three amens. That was a good word, wasn't it? Yeah. So the last line of Psalm 66, which ties in with Corey's message of going deeper, it says this, "And I will bring you to rich fulfillment." NIV, I think, says, "I will bring you into abundance." How many want to have abundance this morning? Not just of physical things, not just of gaining wealth. What good is it to gain the whole world and you lose your soul? Amen? But to gain spiritual growth and spiritual wealth and dive in head first, just like a little kid diving into daddy or mommy. Dive into what God has for you this morning. We stand up this morning, please. Oh, every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. Maybe you're here today and you said, you think, man, I've been playing church. I've been playing the Christian game. I can talk Christianese, but I have not been even attempting to go deeper. And if that's you this morning, the Holy Spirit wants you to know that today is your day. Without anybody looking around, if you feel that's you this morning, just raise your hand and say, "I want more. I want more." Amen. The Lord sees those hands this morning. And so I just want us all just to pray together. Lord, I just surrender myself. I surrender everything that I am and everything that I'm not to your lordship today, Jesus. Help me with my addiction. Help me to overcome my past. Help me to pursue the things for my future that you have for me, Lord. Help me not to walk in fear, but help me to walk in courage and a sound mind that you've given me. And Lord, I thank you that today is the first day of the rest of my life. Go and walk in it in the name of Jesus. If you need prayer this morning, we'll be happy to pray with you, okay? So don't leave. Come get prayed for. Hallelujah.